Good afternoon and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good evening, Michael. No,
right.
Just messing with you. Good afternoon. Is it light where you are, Michael? That's what I want to know. Is it still light?
It's closer to the dark side than the light side. But I think
as
the days go along, you know, it'll get
better. It's getting better, though, huh?
Yes.
Yeah. This afternoon, I found myself singing, "It's the Most Wonderful Time of the Year."
Oh, yeah.
And yes, and I thought it really needs lyrics for this time of year, where snowflakes aren't falling and skies are clear and sunny and things like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's a beautiful springtime.
Mm-hmm. Maybe we can work on that.
Will do. I'll get on it right after the show.
Yeah, you get on that. Okay. So what's coming up?
What's coming up is, believe it or not, work can be enjoyable if it's done within a supportive structure where ego is not our coworker. In our workshop, The Mentor to the Rescue, on Sunday, April 28th, we will practice having the mentor as our coworker and see the difference that wisdom, love, and compassion bring to whatever task we're performing.
Wow. Can't wait.
Sounds like fun?
Yeah, sounds like fun.
Yes. And Sangha is invited to our spiritual home at 4 Acre Zen Center in gorgeous Squim, Washington. This year's Summer of Sangha includes week-long and weekend retreats from June to August. A full schedule of yoga, meditation, guidance, workshops, groups, and self-guided practice will be offered. And it will be possible to accept precepts with this practice during the Summer of Sangha.
Very excited about that, I got to tell you.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Very fun.
Mm-hmm.
Me too. And for these and other practice opportunities, visit livingcompassion.org. And a few reminders for tonight. If you'd like to get in the queue to talk with Sherry, please press *6 and then 1 to make cash show. And a conversation on one topic, please, and about 5 minutes is great.
All right.
And
thank you,
Sherry,
Michael.
Thank you. I was going to start with an update from my call several months ago.
Oh, lovely. What's been happening?
Well, it's very exciting, and I always love it, you know, when people call back in, as you know, so we find out what's going on. Yes. We spoke, I think it was about 4 or 5 months ago, and at the time I was finding work challenging, and my boss had been encouraging me to be more confident, and you and I had a conversation, and you continued that theme of pulling that confidence to the forefront, you know, pushing the voices aside, and remembering who I am. And
thank you for saying that, Michael, because that's where I was hoping you would go with that. That we weren't talking about you need to be different. You need to be who you are, right? Who you really are. Yeah,
exactly.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. And that was a fabulous point that you brought out, that there was, you know, it's not like I needed new skills or different skills or better skills. Just be who you are.
Be you.
And,
that's
what life needs. So life decided that my curriculum at the last company was done. So I was let go from there probably a week or two after we spoke. And so that put me into a job search role, in which even more confidence perhaps is needed when there's no money coming in. And that recording from your guidance was fabulous. And I've listened to that probably 100 times since then. And it's great, you know, because to hear the wisdom and the guidance, and to have, you know, like most of our work is recorded, and to be able to access that, you know, again and again and remember, oh, yeah, yeah, that's right, I do. I am, there is nothing wrong with me, and I'm fine, and I have the skills, and it's been, yeah, it's been really great.
Oh, that's so wonderful. Wow, and of course, my favorite part of it is practice can show up. You know, we can, Sangha, guidance, whatever, can show up for us, right? But then we have to take it into our own hands and apply it, make it work, prove it to ourselves, and have that experience for ourselves, which sounds like you definitely did.
Yes, and I know we've talked for years about, you know, I received the guidance, and then soon after, conditioning interprets the guidance for me, you know, and pretty soon I'm off on a program that's very different from the guidance that was given.
Yes.
So to listen to the original guidance over and over is great. And, you know, we talk about we often don't see it this way, but the sort of the advantage of having the same karma over and over and over. And so there is, you know, when I apply myself and listen to the guidance and continue to look, you know, that karma changes because practice is stronger than that karma.
Yes, it is. The truth is stronger than a lie, which is what it comes down to, right? Because what you are is what is true, and what ego is putting forth is a lie.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Fabulous. So it's great to remember that. The good news is that I have a new job, which is great. So there's now income coming back in, and it feels like a better fit, this job and this company. As you know, it's all the same issues. It's all the same karma, whether I'm at company A or company B. And so just, you know, working with that same karma in a new situation that feels more supportive.
Well, yes. And actually, you know, we could say you're a new you.
Yes.
Right? So the karma will be the same. It'll try to come in and tell you the same stories and get you to believe the same stuff and go in the same direction of listening to it and all that. But having gone through what you've gone through and done the practice that you've done, you're a different person. And so it's going to run the same playbook, but you are listening and seeing with different ears and eyes. And that makes all the difference.
Yes, it does. Yes, mm-hmm. it does. Yeah, yeah. I think there's that quote about, what's that quote about, you know, coming back to the same tree or to the same location many times later or many years later, and then I can see how I've changed.
Yes, yeah, yeah. You get to see everything through new, fresh eyes. And you know, ego is going to try to argue that the circumstances, everything is the same, including you. And that's just not true.
Yes.
It's just not.
Yes, yes.
And the, you know, the part that fascinates me about it, Michael, is that when we get to this experience that you're having, what we get to see is that was never true about you, right? What ego was getting you to listen to and believe, it was never true about you. So it's not, you haven't changed. And so in these new circumstances, you'll get to see yourself with a clarity that you haven't been able to have before, because ego was right in there waving its arms around and breathing all the good air.
Yes. And it's so funny because, you know, your guidance, you know, is, you know, basically you're fine. There's nothing wrong with you. You're a smart, competent professional. And then I start hearing that, you know, from other people. And then after a while, it's like, hey, maybe
it's true.
Maybe that's true. Could it be, really? So it's just very fun to, you know, to have this great life curriculum and be supported and guided by practice. And it's just a tremendous privilege.
Yeah, and to do the practice and reap the results, reap the benefits. That's what's glorious. Because, in fact, I was just saying to somebody today, you know, when we get to the part of the program where it's really exciting, You know, it's really fun. I'm seeing all this stuff, and I'm no longer seeing it through the eyes of, oh God, I don't want to see this. I don't want to have to face it. It's like, okay, I got it. That stuff is not true. I'm adequate. I'm capable. I can face it. I can go through to the other side. And will we have difficulties ahead? Of course. But instead of seeing them as defeats or proof that we were wrong about all of this, which is, of course, what ego is going to be arguing for, what we're going to realize is, well, yeah, I took all those steps, so now I'm here. Now the next step is going to be something else for me to encounter and transcend. That's all that's happening.
Yes.
freedom.
More freedom, yes, Sherry. And another thing that I love is that I'm seeing movement on other karma that I had felt very stuck about. So it's fabulous. Yeah. It's the process. It's not content.
Yep.
And I've heard that before too.
that's familiar to me too, yeah. And yet every time we have the experience of it, it's just brand new, revelatory, so thrilling. Because every moment is brand new when we're here for it.
Yes. Yes, indeed. Mm-hmm. Indeed.
Yeah. Well, congratulations. I'm so happy for you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. It's great to have your guidance and to do it with Sangha. Just as I've seen everyone else do it. So,
yes. 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 And that one more point before we move on. And that's just exactly the case. We come to practice believing that we're the only ones stuck in this suffering and inadequacy and whatever the ego voices are telling us. And then we start moving down the path together, and we see other people going through these same kinds of things that we are required to go through. And some of them seem pretty small. And we think, oh yeah, okay, well, I bet I could handle that. And then some of them are so huge that we can find ourselves thinking, God, I hope that one is never mine, right? But everybody who faces whatever they're facing with us, right? So that we get to see it and be with one another as we go through it, then it just builds our courage and confidence. That it is possible. It's possible for all of us, and that's what we're proving to ourselves and one another moment by moment.
Yes, yes, yes. So like you said, it's as much science as it is art. If you do the work, you will get this result.
Yep.
Fabulous.
Yeah, oh, that's wonderful. Yeah, thank you so much, Michael.
Thank you. Thank you. And I think we're ready to talk to a caller here.
All right.
All right, let's go. First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, this is Jason.
Hello, Jason.
Hi. This is something I wish I'd done a long time ago. I came to the monastery 20 years ago, and I don't know if you remember me or not, but I was looking for a long-term stay, and at some point I was asked to leave, not given an explanation as to why, and that still... still haunts me.
Uh-huh. Well, that's interesting, Jason, because I don't know what happened from your perspective, but that would be very unusual for us to do. That we the number of people who were ever asked to leave, I could kind of count on one hand, and never without an idea of why.
So you're telling me that you didn't refuse to meet with me and explain to me why? Because I think his name was Dave. He was very clear that you that you would not speak with me, and that we were on a New Year's retreat at the time, and I wish I'd spoken up at the time, like in front of everyone, but I thought I was saving your face by not confronting you at the time, but I wish I had spoken.
Well,
don't suffer, communicate.
Yeah.
I wish I had done
yeah,
that.
Yeah, me too, Jason. Me too. I wish you'd said something.
And so,
So now you're saying
it. I am. And I was asked to leave, and you wouldn't meet with me to explain why.
What did Dave tell you?
I don't know exactly what happened, but that's the story
What did Dave tell you?
I don't remember because it was so long ago, but it was, from what I remember, the message I got was that she wants you to leave and that she will not meet with me. She will not meet with you to discuss it. I mean.
Well, I don't know, Jason. If we were in the middle of a New Year's retreat, I can imagine that there was a great deal going on. At that point, at the monastery, Dave was very much the person who would have handled those things. When we were in retreat, and so I can't really speak to it. I mean, you can't remember what he told you. I don't remember the incident.
I was there six weeks before, and then suddenly I mean.
Not a clue, huh?
And you don't even remember me.
Well, you know, Jason, I hope you don't take it personally. I've interacted with thousands and thousands of people over.
Yes,
I mean, I've been doing this
that.
For 40 plus years. So,
yes.
Yeah. And so if you were with us for 6 weeks before, and there was absolutely you had no clue at all that things were not going well. And then suddenly, just out of the blue, you were asked to leave, that would be extremely upsetting. It's hard for me to reconcile that with how we have been through the years, but that is your experience of it, and so I have to accept that that's what happened to you. That's what happened for you. Whatever I do or do not remember or whatever Dave did or did not say or whatever was going on, that is your experience.
Well, I've been listening to the radio shows on the podcast at work,
uh-huh.
And they, I'm still drawn to the. I still was deeply influenced by some of your teachings. You know, process, not content, and just being aware is enough and.
I
wish we kind of idolized.
I wish we'd had this conversation 19 years ago.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But we're having it now, Jason.
Yeah.
We're having it now.
So I'm calling in because I want to be.
Yeah.
To communicate. I don't know exactly what I'm expecting out of this, but I'm sharing.
That's right. Well, yes. I mean, you're letting us know about your experience, which is, because otherwise, as you know, what happens is something happens in our life, and if there's no way for us to process it, then it just stays in there. And ego is happy to keep it in there and keep talking about it and going over it and pointing out what's wrong with it and, just basically making us suffer over it, whereas there's a hope, a chance, with getting it out there, whether you ever have anything to do with our practice again or not. At least you've said what your experience is, what happened to you. I hope you realize I hear you. And then maybe it's possible to say, to just go on with life. And the next time ego wants to tell that story, if it starts getting to you, call in an open air when I'm on, and we'll talk about it some more until the voices have nothing left to torture you with.
That's right. Thank you.
Yeah. You are so welcome. You are so welcome.
Okay.
All right.
Have a nice job.
Thank you. Thank you, Jason.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Jason. And Sherry, it's time for our good news update. So we'll go to that.
All right.
And we'll come back later, talk with more callers.
All right. Sounds good. Thank you, Michael.
You're welcome. Okay, Jen, I'm turning it over to you for good news update.
Excellent. And I'm pleased to be joined this afternoon by Marianne, who is here to speak with us about her experience of practicing with the most recent Musings article. Welcome, Marianne.
Thanks, Jen. I'm very happy to be talking to you about this today.
Good. I feel like we've already been given some good segues, haven't we? On this call tonight.
I have to say I've just had a most remarkable experience with this article because when I first was going to figure out what to speak about, and I said, well, I can't speak about these things, but what about this? And then I looked at it, and I just had so much resistance and confusion, and I actually wrote and said, I don't think I can do this.
And so, Marianne, let me make sure people are following along, because some people might not know the structure you're referring to. So you're one of the stewards of practice, and as part of that, you volunteered to say, "Hey, I'll be on Good News Updates." And so I think what you're describing is the process that happened as you were looking at what you were going to speak about, and there's all this resistance. And you wrote in to say, hey, I don't think I can do this. And then, sounds like you saw a lot more after that.
And then I went, oh, okay, well, I'll see what I can do. And then, so I did lots of recordings. I read the article. I made notes. And I just want to say what the article is about. It's about guidance. That spiritual practitioners seek guidance to see mm-hmm. what they can't see.
Yes.
So, you know, the article has a lot of depth, and so I had kind of made it into some points for myself. But mm-hmm. before the show, I was meditating, and mm-hmm. I got the answer to the question that I've had for a long time. I used to puzzle why I could not ask for guidance. I tried. I thought about it. I was aware. Look, why don't you ask? And I'd flown in and I'd never ask. And I wasn't too surprised in some ways because I know that I'm an Enneagram 1 or the personality mm-hmm. type of an Enneagram mm-hmm. 1, which mm-hmm. Is driven by internal authority.
Right,
be good
right wrong, this is good, that's bad, it has to be this way, it can't be that way, don't tell me what to do. Uh-huh. I'm familiar. Marianne.
Uh-huh. So what I saw was like a tower of bricks, mm-hmm. the visual image of a tower of bricks, and I was reaching in to the bottom level and pulling mm-hmm. out the brick that said internal authority, and mm-hmm. of course the tower collapses.
I mean, just the process that you're describing, Marianne, it's so brilliant, the process of practice that you're describing of going through, okay, so, you know, what am I going to talk about? I don't know what I'm going to talk about. Okay, so here's the suggestion, huge resistance to that suggestion, but you stay with it. And that in itself is a process of following guidance, isn't it?
Yes, I think I had a very narrow concept of following guidance, because I think as just showing up for the morning radio show and open air, and you know, our workshops on the weekend, is a way of getting guidance.
Right. Oh, absolutely.
Rather than, you know, I had the narrow definition that it was directly with speaking with the guide.
Yes, which it can be. And there's all kinds of ways that we receive guidance. I think we talked about that. I actually can't remember the context right now, but I think it was on Good News Update, where we were talking about that process of that guidance is all around us in one sense.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, as I was saying, very much like the first two conversations that have already been had tonight on the show, of that process of, it's truly a dialogue, right? Where, as is pointed out in the Musings article, we're reaching out to someone who has walked the path and asking for, that's one of the brilliant points also that's made in the article, is that guidance is something we ask for, just like you're talking about. We ask for it, and so it's given to us. We're asking for this reflection, and it's reflecting for us, just like Michael was talking about at the beginning of the show, it's reflecting for us who we are. Because usually we swim in what we're not. We're constantly barraged and told what we're not. So guidance is a process that can reach in and assist us to see what we are.
Yes. I think that the thing that I saw was there is, you know, I saw the article. I could work it out as a process map about this happens and then this happens, and it kind of cascades down from, you know, feeling that whatever the guide says is law, and if you don't go along with it, you will get turfed out or get disapproval, or nobody will love you, or you want to quit practice, or you only pick what kind of guidance you want.
Yeah.
And what I added to that list was my mantra was, I don't need guidance. You don't have to tell me what to do. I know what to do. I'll just do it. You know, I look at my life in terms of how I've handled things with that. It was a good strategy when I was little, maybe, but as I got older, you know, that I couldn't ask for help from anybody.
And so,
you know, of course, when you can't ask for help, then you feel helpless.
Oh, beautifully put. And, you know, Marianne, as you were describing that, everything you said and exactly what the article is articulating, it so perfectly protects ego completely. And it, in every instance that you said, I either believe that the guidance is law and I have to do it, and if I don't do it, then so, as the article pointed out, so then if I do it, I'm doing it from fear, or I pick and choose what I'm going to ask about so that I don't have to get guidance that I don't want, or I leave practice because I'm out of here. And in every single one of those cases, I'm deprived of the mirror that shows me what I actually am. So it perfectly protects ego.
And it protects it. It is a barrier to we're in spiritual practice because we're seeking, and it's a barrier to seeing what we came
exactly.
to see.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Yes. Well, I realize that happened so quickly, Marianne. We're out of time. But I just, again, I want to end with saying how brilliantly the very process of what you went through to be on Good News is that process that you're articulating. And those are the best places where we just practice with the very thing that's right in front of us to practice with. We don't have to think something up or, you know, go to our head, or it's just always right in front of us. Practice with this. Here now.
Yes, and I am so grateful.
Well, thank you, Jen, for the willingness to volunteer and then to go through the whole process and then to be with us to talk about it right here in the moment. So beautiful. Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And Michael, we'll turn it back over to you and Sherry.
Wonderful. Thank you, Jen, and thank you, Marianne. And welcome back to Open Air, and that was a brilliant conversation, Sherry.
It was, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, I love it. Yeah.
And
it,
we have
yeah.
another. No, go ahead, please.
Oh, it's just so funny that I think about, I guess maybe I was extrapolating from what Marianne was saying, but how we come to awareness practice and everybody in practice just turns into our family of origin. You know, there's the right, the parental figure
yeah.
who's the authority, and then there's the, you know,
fabulous.
We get to see it. Yeah, we get
we
to
get see it all.
It all.
That's
yeah.
what we're here for.
That's what we're here for, to see it all. Yep.
And we have another caller here. Next caller, you are now live on the air. And would you introduce yourself?
Yes. Hi, Michael. Hi, Sherry. This is Goalie from California.
Well, hello, Goalie. How are you?
I'm okay. It's been a while.
Good to hear your voice.
Thank you. It's good to hear your voice. And I've been trying to, you know, make it onto the show and call in for months now. And every time I get talked out of it. So today I just honored that commitment. And
good for
you. Thank you. And I guess I'm doing mostly what people call cue practice, but I also wanted to reconnect because ever since, well, everything happened and we stopped the in-person retreats, I feel like I've moved away and I've been away from practice. And at least this is one way that I can be connected. But
that's right.
The other reason I called is that today I had this insight, which I guess is a cliche. I'm sure I've had it before, and many people have had it, but the insight was that my whole life, I just had a big birthday, and I realized that my whole life until now, I've been looking for somebody, there's somebody out there who's going to come in and bring it all together for me. That when I find
uh-huh.
that person, which in my mind is going to be a romantic person who's going to come in. And when he does, everything will come together. It will
yeah,
all make
right.
sense.
He's gonna ride in on a white horse. He's going to scoop you up and solve all the problems of your life and just ride off with you into the sunset.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And all the
yep.
struggles that I've had and everything I've
yep.
been through will all make sense and it will all be okay because
mm-hmm.
now
mm-hmm.
I found it.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
of course,
yeah.
what
Oof.
I really realize is that the person I've been looking for is here and it's the only one who will be here, has been here, and will be here until there's no more breath in this particular body. And but just the push, you know, to just continuously be looking for that. And, you know, as I get older and older, that whole scenario gets more and more ridiculous because,
yeah.
I mean, I've wasted, I don't want to say how many decades waiting for that, but it seems like I'm still being pushed, you know, in a way to look
oh,
for
yeah.
that.
Right. Well, Goalie, yes, yes. I mean, it doesn't matter how long it takes, and it doesn't mm-hmm. matter if we've had an insight before. It doesn't matter if every other human being on the planet had the insight before us. It only
mm-hmm.
matters when we have it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so to see the depth of that con, because, you know, the ego voices whatever is going on in your life, and I've known you for a long time, I know you, you're a successful human being, right? Those ego voices would say, yeah, but that doesn't matter. Yes, you've done all of that, and you've been all of that, and yes, you're, yes, all of that, but that doesn't really count. That doesn't really mm-hmm. count because you don't have this, this one thing that you don't have. And of course, I don't know if I've ever kidded you about this. I've kidded a lot of people about this, okay? There are a ton of people on this planet who would love to ride off into the sunset with you, okay? But you don't want them.
Hmm.
Right? So if they came towards you, the ego voice would be saying, no, 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 that is not the one. That's not the one. That's not the one. That's not the one. Right? And so it's a perfect, it's a perfect setup to keep you in that place of feeling like, even though you have a wonderful life, I mean, most people on the planet, I think, would agree that you have a wonderful life. Mm-hmm. But from your perspective, when you're hearing that, yeah, but none of that counts because you don't have that one thing, it doesn't feel wonderful.
Yes. And if I can add a little bit of content into this, is that because you and I have talked about this, so right now I do have someone, but he's not exactly the kind of person who I would, like you said, necessarily want to ride into the sunset with, but he's a nice person to, you know, spend some moments with. But now the thing is that he has decided when he retires, he'd like to go and live in Europe. And so I wrap my head around, okay, right now this person is here and I can enjoy his company now. And when he lives in Europe, he can go and live in Europe and I live here. And I can visit.
Yeah. Yeah.
But now my friends are all horrified and saying, no, no, you shouldn't see him now. You're going to get hurt. You're going to, you have to immediately cut it off. And so now it's created anxiety for me again.
Okay, like, oh, goalie. Mm-hmm. May I just right there, time out. Okay, yeah. This is not helpful. This is how we don't help our friends, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is how, so one of the things that I'll offer to people is, so you should be upset and depressed now to prevent being upset and depressed later.
Exactly.
Which when we lay it out like that makes no sense at all. So if you're devastated when this relationship ends, well, then you'll face it then. But you don't have to be devastated now. Now you're enjoying this relationship. You're enjoying his company.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? And there are two pieces, right? So, again, to just underline my original point, you know, he's a nice guy. He's interesting. I mean, he's somebody who can just go live in Europe when he retires. So, you know, he's somebody, you know, in your realm, right? And yet he's not quite it.
No.
So the voices are still saying, yes, he's a nice guy, he's, you know, and your friends are saying, oh, my God, you need to end this now because he's such a catch that when he leaves, you're just going to be devastated. I mean, yeah.
Yes.
Time to come back to goalie.
Yes. I kind of knew that what you would say because I've been, you know, with you for a time, but I needed to hear you say that, you know. So.
Yeah, good. You can count on me, goalie. You know who to call, right?
Yeah. I'm very grateful that I got onto the call, and it's wonderful to speak to you, and I will be making a commitment to listen and call into open air on a regular basis.
Well, and not only that, goalie, it's worse than that, okay? It's worse than that. We're doing in-person retreats now in beautiful Squim.
I'll have to
look into that.
I will.
Okay, good. No pressure.
No, thank you. I need the pressure. Sometimes I need
Okay. All right, then I'll pressure you. Call me and I'll pressure you.
Thank you so much. I will.
Thank you, Goli. Take good care.
Thank you. You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Goli. And that was a fun conversation. Sure, I enjoyed that. Lovely.
Oh, I love practice.
And we have a caller. Next caller, you are now live on the air. And would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, can you hear me?
Who's this?
Yes. It's Steve.
Hello, Steve.
Hey, Steve.
Hi. I'm not sure where to start. I guess I'll start by saying that this is going to be a bit of a ramble, but I'm really desperately trying to tie it back to practice. And
well, Steve, let's make an agreement. If you get too far out in the weeds somewhere, I'll just stop and reflect you and attempt to get you on course. How about that?
That's a deal.
All right, good.
So yesterday I witnessed my second eclipse. I've been preparing for it for about 2 years, and I dragged a couple of friends and their seemingly reluctant wives to come watch it with us. And it was an amazing experience, and I'm still trying to process it and unpack it. And I'm trying to deal with, I guess, a little bit of alienation that I felt with a couple of the people in my group that seemed tonight like, yeah, that's pretty cool. And I'm like, this is the most amazing, amazing thing ever. I thought about something that you said years and years ago that I've always tried to remember, and that's that we see ourselves as separate from nature and that we're not.
Mm-hmm.
And here in front of me was this amazing, such an unlikely event. It's so improbable that it even happens. And the sense of feeling connected to the universe is so strong. And I just wanted everybody else to feel it. I knew I couldn't expect everybody else to have the same experience. But
well, Steve, if I may, just
yeah.
Right at this juncture, okay? So I'm afraid I'm in the club with your friends, okay? And in fact, I'm fascinated by people's fascination. That's the thing that I find completely remarkable. Because let's consider this. And actually, I'm kind of quoting Ashwini on this one because she was talking about this as I was kind of asking her, what exactly is the? And she said, something along the lines of, you know, the sun comes up every day. I mean, it doesn't really come up, but, you know, that's how we talk about it. The sun comes up every day. Now, you want to talk about a miracle.
Yeah.
Everything on this planet exists because the sun comes up every day.
Yeah.
But are we in awe of that? Are we just kind of falling on our knees that sun comes up and there is the energy from the sun, and it's now spring, and everything is popping up, and the rain falls, and the little flowers grow, and the tomatoes, and the, right? And it's all a miracle.
It is.
It's all improbable. The most improbable thing in the world is that you exist.
Yes.
That it takes the entire universe to keep you alive for another moment.
Yes.
The entire universe has to conspire to keep you alive second by second. So I'm kind of there with them, Steve. It's it is amazing. I think the full moon is amazing. I think it's, you know.
Oh, no. Thanks to practice. I mean, I'm grateful for, like, in my better moments, I'm grateful for every breath that I take. It's enough. It's moment
well,
enough.
It's, yeah. That, and I think that's the, you know, that's the catching point here, right? That that you're stunned by the eclipse and can't understand why other people are not having the same experience, but you're not having the it's like, yes, in my better moments, I realize what a miracle life is, but we don't have very many of those better moments, generally speaking, and they're not the kind of stop everything, give all the attention to, not be anywhere else, stop the thinking, just be here for this moment.
Yeah, that was all what I was reminded of during the eclipse, because it's a fleeting moment, and the message was, pay attention because it's going to be over soon.
Yes, yes. And so to take that into, all I'm saying is, your friends might be actually more in the, yeah, it's a fleeting moment, it's going to be over soon, just like all the other fleeting moments of my life. I can get that it's all extraordinary. It's hard for me to see that one is more extraordinary than the other, rather than they're somehow missing some experience that would be possible for them.
Hmm. Yeah, no, I know even having any expectation of anybody else's experience is, you know, you've said this too, that the Buddha said we each have one person to save. So it's really kind of none of my business what their response is. So I've been processing all of this.
Probably it's one of those kinds of places where it's best not to go with other people.
Yeah.
You know, if you really love sunsets and you are in a place that is known for its sunsets and you love sunsets, maybe just go by yourself and enjoy the sunset.
Right.
Rather than hope that there will be somebody else who has the same experience when the odds are really good that they won't, and then you will feel somehow disappointed or whatever it is that they're not sharing it with you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because, you know, what occurs to me, again, about it is that we actually have that experience all the time. It sounds like you have a partner.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And do you like all the same foods?
Pretty close, but yeah, no, we have differences for sure.
Yeah. And so sometimes we can be with somebody who's, you know, we share just about everything with. And they really love, and it's a, I don't get it, you know,
right.
Or out and out, I don't like it. But there's no, it's an experience that we have that, you know, somebody's favorite color is this and somebody else's is this. It's really unlikely that we're going to have somebody mirror us in a way that fulfills us the way us being present to us will fulfill us.
That was very helpful to hear.
Good.
Yeah. Anyway, the experience has drawn me closer back into practice for a myriad of reasons, many layers deep, but I am very grateful for practice and...
Steve, where were you when you saw the eclipse?
Mazatlan.
Were you at home?
No, we went to Mazatlan. I've been planning this for 2 years. So we went to Mazatlan. That was statistically the best place to chance for sun. So.
Uh-huh. Wow. But, okay. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I really, you know, to me, it becomes clearer that this would be kind of a big processing moment. Because when we plan something for 2 years, we invite our most important people, and we travel to some place in order to have an experience, and everybody else is kind of, it's nice. Anybody want to survey
us? Let's go for lunch
now.
I'm hungry.
Yeah. That was
like,
fun. Yeah.
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 I know. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, yes, that's exactly right. I just... needed to talk about it, yeah. And I've been able to talk about it with my wife, and just need to find a way to let it go and just process it in my own way.
And Steve, the thing that I hope is that you use it as an opportunity to come back more fully, deeply, intimately with you.
Amen.
Yeah. Good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. One last
all
thing.
Of it,
yeah.
Yeah. To turn all of it into an opportunity to come back to you. Let everything, everybody else, doesn't matter what happened to them. Nothing matters. What about you?
Just, no, I'm trying. Yeah. I mean, and that's always like I want to know myself better, and yet there's this ego part of it that's like, yeah, that creates this weirdness in my brain. But you're not alone in that.
Yeah. As you know.
And so just one last thing. I know, like, Carl Sagan, who was a big hero of mine, once said in his Cosmos series that we are a way for the universe, or that we are a way for the cosmos to know itself. And then when I was on retreat, Ashwini had said, when I was going through a process, she said, the entire intelligence of the universe is sitting on this cushion. And that just, those two things kind of just melded together for me. And this is definitely conditioning talking. I shouldn't need an eclipse to see all this. Anyway.
Well, but Steve, you know, that is possibly the best part of it is what you have been able to receive for yourself out of the experience.
And the other thing, just one last thing, I did a long recording and listening session this morning, and I haven't for months and months. I've taken courses, and then I never do it, and I thought, okay, I need to talk to somebody. Nobody wants to listen. I'm going to talk to the recorder.
I'm going to talk to the mentor. He always wants to listen.
Yes, and the mentor at the end said, you know what I love about you, that you are totally into stuff like this. It sunk home for me, and I just felt okay with everybody else's experience at that moment.
That's right. And so the intelligence that is the universe animating a particular form that we call Steve experiences itself in this way, in this situation, in this moment, and that's more, way more than plenty.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I agree.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Sherry.
You are so welcome. All right. Thank you.
Gosho. Bye.
Gosho.
Thanks for joining us, Steve. And Sherry, I think we have time for one more caller here.
All right.
Next caller. You are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, it's Jodine.
Hey, Jodine.
Hey, Jodine.
What are you up to?
I have a little technical issue that I can't hear you that well because you're not on speaker. But, here we go. Okay, hi.
Yeah. Hi, you sound good.
I see. We're about 6 minutes from the top of the hour. And I'll just say that I've been going through a really difficult transition in life involving the probable breakup of my 14 years now marriage.
That's big.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, looking at my karma that comes up always, a big reaction I'm having to this is to be in and out of depression.
Mm-hmm.
And the depression is kind of a different flavor than I'm used to. It's more like an anxious depression instead of a sad depression.
I'm curious at this point, how does it get called depression rather than just sad or anxious?
It's like it's behaviors. Like I have a really difficult time getting out of bed in the morning. My energy is in the basement.
Which is really interesting with anxiety, isn't it? Because usually it's just the opposite.
Well,
with anxiety.
Right. Anxiety. So anxiety for me lately has been, well, for a long time, it's like social anxiety. Like I find going to the grocery store excruciating.
Okay. So here's what strikes me. This is a very big deal, right? Ending a relationship, if it's a meaningful relationship, it doesn't really matter if it's been 14 days, right? If you don't want it to end, or you didn't want it to end, even if, I can see that it needs to end, but I didn't get into this relationship to end it. I got into this relationship to be in this relationship. So there, it's a very big deal, right? And one of the things, Jodine, that I like about having been around practice for as long as I have is I've known people for a really long time, right? And I've known you for a really long time.
Mm-hmm.
And I've known you to go through some extraordinary life circumstances.
Yes, I have.
Mm-hmm. And, we could parse all of these things, but we could say depression has been a part of all of those things. It's always, was it Winston Churchill who called it the black dog? Somebody famous did, anyway, I think, or else I just made that up, Jodine. But that kind of an image of this companion that's always there. It's always a part of everything. It may be front and center sometimes. It may just be off to the side, but it's always around. It's always a part of. And so again, looking back over the time that I've known you and the kinds of things that you have managed to go through with depression as a companion. Somebody just texted me yes, so I guess it was Mr. Churchill. Anyway, either that or they're saying yes to something else unrelated, and I'll have to find out later. So I don't know if it's helpful to consider that. I hope it is.
Yeah. Well, there certainly is a sense of here we go again.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to say, I would say through the miracle of practice, I don't experience depression the same way anymore.
Right.
It's like my experience is almost like like it comes and it goes like clouds over the sun.
Yes. Yep.
And yep. Then it's like, oh, the sun is out.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. And so where it takes me to, and where I hope it takes you, it'd be nice if it doesn't, we can talk about whatever else. But, you know, I don't want this. I don't want this. But I can do this. I don't want this to be happening. But it doesn't mean anything except I wish it weren't going this way. Doesn't mean I can't do it, doesn't mean I won't do it. Doesn't mean I won't be fine. It just means darn.
Here it is again.
Here it is again.
Yeah.
Here it is again. How many things, you know, how many things are there? Get an education that is just absurd, okay? I mean, nobody gets the kind of education that you have, right? Then get the kind of job that goes with that kind of an education, right? And then come encounter a disease that wants to be debilitating, right? And with each one of these things, and the black dog, you know, the cat with a lifespan, you know, usually a big black dog, you think, well, maybe, you know, 10 years max. But with depression, it can mm-hmm. stay with us for a lifetime, right? And so it's always there. There's always that element of if I'm not paying attention, if I'm not really practicing being here, I can fall into that. I can, and I know yeah. that I can fall into it, and I can come out of it. I have.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, we had a conversation a couple years ago about an insight I had around my depression that, ooh, I hate to own that, around depression.
Yeah, don't own it. Yeah, yeah, good,
that,
good woman, don't own it.
That I was kind of directing the depression towards my husband, basically, like, look how depressed you make me. Oh, stop it.
Uh-huh.
You know, whatever. Like, this very
yeah.
dynamic is just, like, so ugly in our relationship. And when I saw that, and I said that on the air, and I said, but that doesn't mean I can let it go, does it? And you said, yes, you can just let it go. And I'm yeah. seeing right now in my life, in these circumstances, that I just do not want to be happening, even though I'm the person primarily pushing for the end of our marriage.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm pushing for that. What I don't want is that this marriage didn't work.
Right.
But,
right.
Yeah.
Yes. Which is a really, really good point.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't have to mean that, does it? So the example that I use of that, and I've talked with these people. Okay, I'm not making this up. Somebody, it runs every day or 5 days a week for 20 years and then quit running and get called a failure, a quitter.
Yeah?
So that process is always going to be there. Now, this friend of mine, we both knew actually, Walter, would say relationships are vehicles. You get in one. It takes you where it can take you, and then it's time to get out of that vehicle. And if you want to, get in another vehicle, or maybe you're where you're going to be. But to think that you have to find somebody, stay with them, happily ever after for a lifetime, you know, that kind of conditioning really serves ego, but it doesn't serve very many people. And so to realize that a relationship can be what it is, and you can you can appreciate everything about that relationship, including mm-hmm. when it feels like it's time not to be doing that like that any longer.
Yes, and I could not deny that that we reached that point. I mean, it was like,
yes.
It was so clear to me.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Probably, you know, because of practice, I could say, okay, it's time.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's not a failure unless you let ego talk you into calling it that.
Yes, I've definitely been seeing that ego just spins everything. It's going to spin this just like it spins everything else.
That's right.
And
that's right. And you can
yeah.
count on that. And you know, it, with something like a relationship ending, it doesn't. And I don't know anything about your circumstances, you know, but it doesn't even necessarily mean it's ending as much as it's changing. There's nothing to say that when you're not in the same circumstances that you were in, you can't even more than ever appreciate one another for who you are as individuals. It's just that being in that situation together like that was no longer, you were no longer able to be with yourself or with one another the way you would wish to be.
Mm. Absolutely true. Yeah.
Yeah. So back to our original, the way I'm hoping you're going to be approaching this is just with that realization that, yes, it's really hard. It's painful on so many emotions, right? It can be disappointing. It feels like loss. There's grieving. There's anxiety. There's fear of the future. What's going to happen mm-hmm. now that... I didn't plan on it. I didn't know it was going to, all of those kinds of things can be there as they have been there before in your life.
Mm-hmm.
And here we are talking.
Mm-hmm. Thank goodness.
Yes.
Thanks,
yes,
thanks for
exactly.
taking my call tonight.
Yeah,
at the
yeah.
end.
Well, yes,
yeah.
yes. Mm-hmm. And this is, of course, the place where we say, stay close. You know, you really want to be looking to practice to be there for you, to support you in this this particular difficult time, or the
yes.
way we talk, you know, this challenging, this opportunity, that however we want to frame it with that, without denying how difficult it is.
Right. And just referencing back to the good news this evening, one of the first things that I did when things started to fall apart was to write in for guidance. And I am so grateful.
Uh-huh.
I am so grateful for that session, which I've listened to over and over, and for the permission, you know, to write in again as things evolve, and I will.
Yes, so. Yes. Yeah,
it's, I mean, yeah, it's just invaluable. I mean, I just felt like it was almost like, I mean, it was like conditioning had me on the floor, and there was like, you know, the countdown, right? The
right.
knockout countdown, and practice just picked me up, dusted me off, and, you know, here I am. So.
Yeah, 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 exactly. And that, in these kinds of situations, it's when ego really comes at us the hardest to try to convince us that we're alone and that we can't do it and we're not going to make it and you have no resources, nowhere to turn, no one to, and you know it's not true. After all these years of practice, you just know that's not true.
Yeah, I have a dozen reassurance tracks that say what's really true. So,
yes. Yeah. Good.
Yeah.
All right. Well, stay close.
You. Yes, I definitely
All
will.
Right. All right. Good night.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Michael. Bye-bye.
You're welcome. Thanks for joining us, Jodine. And Sherry, that brings to an end a wonderful show, and I'm very grateful to be a part of it. I'm grateful for your guidance.
Thank you, Michael. I'm grateful, too. I'm grateful for all of us and for practice and,
yeah,
that we're together. All right. Fabulous. Well, take good care of yourself, everybody.
You too, everybody.
And we'll go happy.
We'll go happy.
All right.
Good night.
Good night.